So we're going to pick off from the middle of the second parak where we were. The previous thing that he said, I mean, obviously the whole parak is about the idea of vigilance. And when it comes to zehiros, when it comes to vigilance, so he gave the mashal about a person who's blind, and the previous paragraph, very descriptive, where he spoke about a person who's walking on a narrow path right along like the ocean. Picture, the way I picture it in my mind is it's like 10 feet off the ground, elevated, and here's a blind man walking on like something. It's literally, it seems out of a movie where a person's walking on the side of a building. It's like any step off to one side will kill you.
I think Jacob posted a picture of a guy like kind of going along those like wires.
Tightrope.
Tightrope, exactly.
So that's what it's like. And a person not thinking about it, not asking someone for help, not opening his eyes is crazy. Right. And so he continues, V'hine Yirmiyahu hayamis onen al ro b'nei doro b'nei hayosam niguam b'nega hamida hazos. Yirmiyahu, like, basically moaned about the corruption of the generation because of this specific affliction in this area of not being careful. Now, the footnote here, well, the footnotes here spoke about how in Yirmiyahu's generation was interesting because they actually learned a lot of Torah. And to the point where when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, so they asked, like, why was it destroyed? And they couldn't figure out what it was, basically. And it must be, of course, there were people who were learned, but even though they were learned, they weren't necessarily so careful with their actions. And it was much more of intellectual pursuit. And he says over here also, in the footnote, quote by Rabbi Yeruchim Levavitz, that you might think that a person who doesn't have zahiros, a person who's not careful, that it's basically like breaking down a fence of a barrier for oneself, and now you potentially could do something bad. You might come to sin. And he says, no, if someone's not careful, that is the sin. That is a sin. And it's not just, oh, it might lead to sin. That is a terrible thing in and of itself. Because a person could avert their eyes from their actions without trying to put into one's heart what they see right in front of them. Whether to follow something or to abandon something. Right? We constantly have choices in our life. We want to know whether to pursue something or whether to avert from that thing and go a different direction. And the person who's not careful, who's not thinking about these things, and just does something without thinking is wild. The Amar Alehem in Yirmiyahu continues in Perchet, Pasuk Vav, Ein Ish Nicham Al Raso Lemor, that there's no person who relents and basically will call out, what have I done? Kulo shav miruta sam kesuf shotef bamelchama. It's like a person who's on a horse and going like straight away into battle, just like charging, and as opposed to stopping and thinking, you know, what am I doing here? Look at all the bad things I've done. That they're basically just racing ahead in life, following the course of their habits and their actions. Where they're not even thinking at all about the specific actions and the path that they're choosing in life. And all they're doing is falling into bed without even realizing it. It's not just, and one would think, that I'm not thinking and I might choose good or I might choose bad. And then what we would assume is if you choose good, you realize it's good right away. If you choose bad, you realize it's bad. He's saying a person could choose bad and not even realize that they're doing bad. And this happens a lot of times. I heard a story recently about a person who was a billionaire, literally a billionaire. It's a short list. It's not so short, but a short list. And this person, in order to pursue the money and the career that he wanted in his life, he ended up not having any children. I don't know if the person got married or didn't get married, but he certainly didn't have children. And towards the end of his life, he said, I would give up all my money to go back and change that mistake I made. It was a grave, terrible decision. So now when I go on, like, what's this for? What's the legacy? Am I giving anything over? Did I bring someone into the world, care for them? I missed the boat. And so he made the decision decades earlier, but only realized it much later in life. So even sometimes if a person chooses a wrong path, you might not even realize it right away. And there are plenty of times where for us, sometimes a person is doing something that doesn't seem so bad, but then the more you are digging your hole in that area, the more you realize, you know, this is a really bad place. A lot of times, a lot of times when it comes to addiction, it's also, a lot of times it begins with that. Begins with whether it's one drink, or it begins with one smoke, one hit, whatever it may be. And then a person, not that one is a good thing, but certainly, it's having one shot, whatever it may be. But then a person, of course, years later, whatever it may be, months later sometimes, realizes, wow, like that was a terrible, terrible mistake. And something you don't even realize right away.
He goes back to his Chazal saying of Gedarim, telling us to
set up Gedarim. Yeah, correct. We have, oftentimes, Chazal, we have Gedarim in Halacha, we have to have Gedarim in Maisim, in the way we operate in life. And he ends this paragraph, Nimsa Shehem Noflin Bera Belira Osra Osan, like we said, that a person's going to fall into the wicked without even, into the bad, without even noticing that it's bad. Ulam hine zos ba'emes, achas mitach bulos hayeta harvar masol hachbid avodaso b'tzmidos aliwa b'nei ha'adam, achal yishar lahem revach lisboin lestaka b'eza derachim holchem. This is a very important thing, because one of the best offenses a sports team could have is knowing the opponent's defense. If you know the defensive calls that they're gonna make, so then you have a very, very big advantage. We don't have to go into the Astros cheating scandal right now, but I wasn't even thinking about it. I was thinking football in my mind, honestly. But yes, if you know the pitch that's coming, if you know a fastball, you're being a garbage can, like, yeah, or you're wearing a buzzer on your chest, whatever it may be, yes, you have a very, very big advantage over there. So it's important for us when it comes to thinking about the Yetzer Hara, which is just so strong and is able to constantly try to throw us down. So the more we're able to understand it and understand its tactics, the more we're able to know that we could be falling into a trap. The more we should try to avoid whatever that thing might be. So he says one of the greatest tactics of the Yetzer Hara is dafka this, is to constantly burden us in order that we don't stop to think, what am I doing? Ki yodea hu, because he knows, she'ilule hayu samim libam kemat kat alderchem, that if a person just stops for a little bit and thinks for a moment about what am I doing, what I get myself into, vadai, then a person, if they are able to stop and look at their actions, then they might reconsider what they're doing. Most likely, and then a person will have tremendous remorse for what they did, and they're going to strengthen themselves to abandon that sin completely. And the Yetzer Hara's tactic is to get us to not stop, to not think. And in the 21st century, this is harder than ever. The fact that we constantly have to go from one activity to another activity, to never to stop and just take a break, and to think, even just to do nothing for a moment. There's a famous rabbi and psychiatrist, Rabbi Dr. Abraham J. Tversky, and he has a lot of books about self-esteem, and me about Judaism, but I've heard him say that a lot of the books have to do with self-esteem. And he said one of the main reasons why he wrote books about that is because in his own life, he said he was once on vacation, and he was to become a very successful rabbi and to be a psychiatrist. He has an MD and a degree in psychology, and very, very busy person. And he said he was once on vacation, and I think he said he was in the hot tub, if I'm not mistaken. And he was going crazy. He just, like, couldn't sit there in his thoughts. It was, like, driving him nuts, like, for the stuff, like, just trying to not think and being able to reflect upon his own life. He didn't want to do it. And he realized a certain lack of self-esteem and how important it is to have a healthy self-esteem. And just that idea of being so busy and not being able to stop and think about what am I doing, it's a very, very important thing. It says, "Varezo me'en atzas paro harasha." This was the tactic that Paro used against Bnei Israel. Shamar, as it says in Shmos, hey Tet, Tichbad havoda al hanashim v'gomer. Paro made the job as difficult as it was for Bnei Israel as slaves, so Paro made it even worse. That they shouldn't even have a moment to think and put to their hearts any advice to work together and to think about plans. You know, this is pretty bad for us. Let's get out of here. He didn't even want them to group together to think. Happens to be he doesn't hear spell out the full breadth of this idea, because what happened was that when Bnei Israel did complain, when Moshe came down, so Moshe says, like, these people can't take it, let them go. And Bnei Israel were very upset and were very frustrated. And Paro, that's when Paro made this decree where he quotes the pasuk, says that, oh, now Paro made it more difficult. What did he add? He added that instead of them providing the Jews with straw, they would have to go and gather their own straw and still fill the same quota every single day of the amount of bricks they had to make. So their job became much more difficult. And the idea is that right before he made that decree, they were calling out, they were screaming to Hashem, they were screaming to Paro, let us go, that we can't take this. Moshe was complaining. He says, ah, that's enough. You're complaining. Obviously, you're thinking about how bad the situation is. I'm going to make you so busy that you don't even have time to think. Sometimes could be in your jobs. I mean, thank God I have, in terms of my hours, it's not such a intense job, but there are times where job is certainly very intense. There are times I have other things after school and I get back late. And like that feeling of getting home late and feeling like I just have to go straight to bed and get up the next day. And like you can't even think for a second. It's like I said, I work, I go to sleep, I work. Imagine doing that as a slave every single day. There's no free time for anything else. All your thoughts, all your actions are just about that. And that's also why the wives of them were praised. The wives would entice the husbands to try to be with them so that they continue having children, to continue Klal Yisrael. And if it wasn't for the wives, men were like, I'm that tired, like I can't even think. I have to do this then tomorrow. Do you know what it's like? They couldn't even think about that. I read in a book called Man's Search for Meaning by Dr. Viktor Frankl, where it's a Jew who survived the Holocaust. The whole book is two chapters. So it might be a psychiatrist. The first chapter is his story, and the second chapter is the psychology that he developed from his experience in the Holocaust. And in the first chapter in his story, he discusses basically this notion of not being able, he said, he could not fathom thinking about a woman in the Holocaust. He says, it was unheard of, basically. Where, like, all you are is, like, meaning for a man, like, the most natural instinct is a desire for a woman. And he said in the Holocaust, for years, not a second, not a thought. All the thoughts are just focused on survival. Am I going to get food tonight? Am I going to be alive tomorrow? That was all the thoughts, and they couldn't do anything else. They were stuck in that moment. And so Paro had devised the same plan to make sure that they weren't able to think. Kain hi atzas hayitahara, and he says this too is the tactic of the yitahara. Yitahara mamish al bnei adam, on humanity, on people. Ki ish melchama humilmad b'armimus, because there's a huge war. And the Yitzhara is extremely cunning. And the only way a person is able to survive, it's impossible to escape it unless a person uses Chachma Rabba and extreme foresight. to really think about, how am I going to get out of the Yetzer Hara? How am I going to escape it? What am I going to do? This is what the Navi Chagai cries out to the people and says, put your heart into what you're doing. Think about what you're doing. Shlomo, Amar b'chachmaso, al titein sheina le'nechos, numal yafapecha. Don't let your eyes fall asleep. Don't let slumber overtake your eyelids. Hinatzel ketzvi miyad v'gomer. Like it's described like a deer who's being trapped. The deer has to run away. Think about it. Get out. Chachmein zechon le'bracha, amru ha'gemar mo'y katan daf hamad aleph says, kol ha'sham orchosav ba'olam hazeh. Anyone who contemplates his ways in this world, Zochev Rabbi Yeshua Sashal Kodesh Baruch Hu, is Zochev, is going to merit to see the Yeshua of Hashem. Because a person who stops to think about his actions, it's assumed that when you realize faults in your actions, you're going to change them. But the problem is, of course, sometimes if you're not thinking about your actions, then you continue to fall deeper and deeper. Upashut hu shafilu im yifakach ha'adam al atzmo. It's pashut. That even if a person is monitoring his actions, im b'kocho li natel ilule HaKadosh Baruch Hu ozro. A person still can't be saved unless it's with the help of Hashem. That every single day, the Gemara explains that every single day the Yetzer Hara comes to us, and the only way we're able to overcome the Yetzer Hara is if Hashem helps us. If Hashem provides that support for us. Okay, Yetzer Hara takif mahud, because Yetzer Hara is extremely powerful. K'mamar hakasuv, and as the pasuk in Tehillim, Perek Lamed Zayin, Pasuk Lamed Beis, Lamed Gimel says, Tov Rasha la tzadik u'mevakesh lamiso, that the Rasha is like crouching, is lying, is hiding to pounce on the tzadik to try to kill him. Hashem lo yazvenu v'gomer, but Hashem doesn't let that happen. Shem's going to protect that person. Ach, however, im adam mifakeach al atmo, if a person does monitor their actions, as a Kadosh Baruch Hu ozro v'nitol min ha'yetzer hara, then Hashem will save the person from the yetzer hara. Aval me'ena mifakeach hu al atmo, but if a person doesn't stop and think about what he's doing, v'adeh shakadosh baruch hu lo yifakeach al, then Hashem's not going to try to save you, to help you. So even though it's true Hashem's the one who, without Hashem, we wouldn't be able to do it, it has to come from us. Like a Sefer Gemara that says, a person who opens the door, this has to do with the desire for doing tshuva, for changing. If you open it the size of a needle, Hashem will open it like a huge amount, like fully open the doors for you. There has to be that initial push from the person. A person has to want it. I speak somewhat often to kids who are going for, or contemplating going for a year in Israel. And the most cautious, I think it's very, very beneficial for everyone to do if they're able to. And the most scared I am for them is if I'm speaking to a kid who I feel doesn't really have such a desire to do much, doesn't have a desire to really learn or really grow. And I'm not expecting the average kid necessarily to be like, yeah, I want to sit and learn 6 hours a day. But there should be some rato, like we're saying. There has to be a certain point. But if a kid's going because their friends are going, because they have a girlfriend that's going, because they want to just leave their house, or they heard it's fun, or they know that the age limit for alcohol is 18 and not 21. If they're going for those reasons alone, then it's a little scared. And sometimes it's hard. I recently spoke to Yeshiva, where I have a connection with, and I put my neck on the line for someone who I knew was on the fence. I don't know if the person was not going to get in necessarily, but I vouched for the kid. The kid ended up getting in. I don't know if it was because of me per se, but the entire time I was very upfront with him, I said, I cannot guarantee you that this kid will do well. Now, I think, I certainly see in the kid potential, but it's not a kid who's like, I want to learn, I want to grow, I want to have, it's not that. So sometimes it's tough. It has to be coming from the person themselves we're seeing here. And if Hashem sees that you're not doing anything, so Hashem's not going to save you from the Yetzer Hara. It has to be coming from the person. Ki im hu eino chas, so if a person doesn't care about himself, who do you expect to care about you? If a person is eating extremely unhealthy and extremely obese, so what do you expect? What does a person expect? If they're not taking care of them, so then, yeah, small things, band-aids you could try to do here and there. What are you going to do? Who can now match Amr Rabbi Sam Zachron and Racha, the Gemara and Brachos and Daflami Gamalav says, Call me Shimbo Deya, also the Rachim Alav. Intense line. Anyone who doesn't have any Deya, any Secha, any knowledge, any real proper thought, it's forbidden to have mercy upon them. If a person does something just extremely foolish, what are you going to do for this person? There's a halacha that when it comes to giving tzedakah, the halacha is a person is not supposed to give more than 20% of their money. That could be there's certain exceptions. If a person has $10 million, and if they give $3 million, I think they'll still be okay with $7 million. But typically speaking, the average person, the halacha is you shouldn't. Why? Because Shema Yisarach Libriyas, I believe, is the rest of the line, that maybe perhaps if you give too much, then you're going to be the person who needs tzedakah. So that's the line, but I think it also comes with this, that the people, they're going to feel bad for you, like, you're pretty dumb. Like, why were you giving away your money and now I have to feed you? I have to take care of you? And we're not supposed to necessarily... See, it says, Asr, L'rachim Elav. It might not be that case. I'm not saying it is that case. I'm just using something that seems somewhat analogous in my mind. But a person acts foolishly, it's saying, then you shouldn't necessarily have so much rachmanis on the person. Hu Masha Amras and Mishnah and Pirkei Avos and Perek Aleph, Mishnah Yadal, says, Im Eina Nili Mili. If I'm not going to be for myself, who's going to be for me? If I don't take care of myself, who do I expect to take care of me? I was listening to a shiur from Rai Przanski, I believe yesterday, and most 2 days ago. And he was talking about this idea that, and I hear this from the head of school, Rai Rubin and Kushner a lot, where a lot of times in the time period we live in, a lot of people point the finger to others for what's going on in their life. So a person is involved in crime or involved in drugs or alcohol or is poor, they'll say, look at the environment I was born into. Look at the family that raised me. Look at the education I was given. You call that an education? Look at the friends I had. And they point the finger at everyone except for themselves when the proper attitude is to realize that, yeah, of course there are difficult things in life, but to take a certain level of responsibility for one's actions. And one of the saddest things is when a person is just pointing the finger at everyone else and to never take blame. And as a teacher, when it comes to students, literally today, one person was like, what about me? What about that person? Literally happened today. I mean, Maisim B'chol Yom. But at least, and I said to that person, I said, I'm not talking about that person, I'm talking about you. And that's where I responded. And it's tough. It's tough to be able to point the finger at oneself. It takes a mature person to realize that, you know what? Maybe this is me. Maybe this is not just my atmosphere. And sometimes if it is the atmosphere, it is a person's able to grow, to leave it. Right? Przanski was, he quoted Ben Carson. Ben Carson, if you remember from 4 years ago, he was running for president, and he was a very successful neurosurgeon, and obviously a very chashev thing to be a neurosurgeon. Now he's a politician, and he came from nothing, mamish, nothing, dirt poor, and had a single mother who raised him and his brother, and she basically, I don't remember the exact line, she basically said that you could either say that, like, we're dug into a hole, and look, just keep digging it, it's getting bigger and bigger, what am I going to do? Or you could try to get out of the hole. You could work on yourself and figure out a way to get out of the hole. You're able to do it, you're able to accomplish if you want to accomplish. And she basically taught him and his brother not to point the finger at other people, to take responsibility, to not... and to work hard and to realize you could accomplish anything. And he grew up in Detroit, and like I said, an extremely poverty-stricken area. He was able to become great because of that. So a lot of times it is easy. to be able to point the finger at others and to not be introspective. So this whole parak in sum was about thinking and just stopping to take a break, to look at life for could be a few moments every day, to do maybe a more bigger chesed average once a week, once a month, whatever it may be. But to be able to think of, there are certain things I'm doing, maybe I should cut out certain things that I'm not doing, maybe I should put into my life. Am I spending enough time with my spouse? Am I spending time with my kids, for those who have kids, whatever it may be. But for how much am I focusing on job, how much am I learning, davening, whatever it may be. But the more you even think about those questions, even for a small amount of time, even if you take literally 30 seconds before you go to bed and you sit on the edge of your bed and you think, that could have a tremendous impact. And shall be zocha to be able to be zahir, and as we continue going forward in the Sefer.